Shalom Lipa ben Leib Alter. Besides, actually, for the shiur tonight, this new Omud was donated to the shul as well in his memory, and makes sense. He was he went to Yeshiva University's cantorial school, and he brought people closer to davening. In fact, he used to daven here on Rosh Hashanah, on in Shabbosim and the Yom Tovim. And it's befitting that he should have an omer, a place where people daven from, donated in his name, dedicated in his name. Also, it makes sense to have a shir about tefillah, that we talk about a cantor, someone who brings someone closer to tefillah, someone who connects with people, that they're able to daven better. We're now in the parshas of Shemos, where we talk about Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And the Ramban says an interesting thing in the beginning, towards the beginning of Shemos. The Ramban writes, when Hashem was ready to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the Ramban says that even though, he says at the time, he says really it was time for Klal Yisrael to leave. He says, Nishlam Hazman Shenigzar Lehem, it was time for Klal Yisrael to already leave Mitzrayim. He says, but still, Lo Hay Ruim Li Golo, they weren't ready to go. He says, Elu Mnei Atza'ako Kibol Tfilos Berachmov. He says, Hashem accepted Klal Yisrael's tefillahs with rachamim, with mercy, and that's what really caused Klal Yisrael to leave. The Chafetz Chaim writes that the name of the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim said that what happened by Mitzrayim is going to be the same thing that happens by us, that eventually the eventual geula, the ultimate geula, will be because of our tefillahs, because of our davening. It says you have to realize that it's possible that really we are worthy now to be completely redeemed. Kadosh Baruch is just waiting for a tefillah. So tonight we're going to have a shiur about tefillah, a shiur about davening. And in truth, it's more than just, of course, a beautiful thing to hear a shiur about davening. But we have a tremendous chus, a tremendous merit to hear from the Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashachter, to be able to hear a shiur from one of the Gedolei Yisrael. Besides for it being just a tremendous chus, we find in Parshas Vayera, it says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah lists for us the up to Moshe and Aaron, and lists there's a few of the Shvatim through Levi, and the Sfarna points out that specifically Levi was Zoyche from the tribe of Levi. He was able to have an Aaron and Moshe. He says because Levi lived 10 years longer and the other Shvatim. Says, because he was Marech Yomim, says, therefore he was able to have great-grandchildren. Levi was able to be Mashvir, was able to influence his children more and for longer, and his grandchildren for longer. And that connection that the children and grandchildren had, together with the previous generation, had a tremendous influence on them that it was able to bring about the leaders of Klal Yisrael. To realize the impact it has to connect back to previous generations and to connect to our Gedolim. Rav Hirsch HaShachter comes to us not just as one of the Gedolei Yisrael that we have a tremendous chus and merit to be able to hear from, but as he writes in his introduction to one of his Svarim, Nikkei Atzon, that he doesn't just come with his own Torah, doesn't just come with his own unbelievable knowledge and depth, but he also has learned by Gedolim, particularly Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, and he's able to give that over to us as well. And just as a personal note, my wife's grandfather was a reshiva in Yeshiva University for, I think, about 6 decades, of Gershon Yankelowitz. He was not a person who gave praises too often, but yet I remember one time the reshiva came to be Menachem Ovelim after his wife was Nifteris. And my wife's grandfather turned to me afterwards and he said, ah, he's a Groysa Talmud Chacham. Groysa Talmud Chacham. Which my wife's grandfather never gave praises to, about anyone. And I think that really could sum it up with the schus that we have to listen to. And the Mitzvah Hashem, we should give our full attention and be inspired by the words of the Roshiva.
Anytime that would be great. Okay. You can thank her anytime. Thank you very much. My main yichus is that I lived in Philadelphia. I went to Beth Jacob when it used to be in the southern part of the city. The Gemara learns that from Psukim that when a person davens, there's a specific framework that you have to daven. You have to introduce the davening with Shevach, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to conclude with Hoidoya, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the middle part of the Shemoneh Esrei should be the Bakoshas Tarachim, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs. So the truth of the matter is the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need our praises in the beginning, and he doesn't need our thank you at the end. It's just Derech Eretz dictates. It's not Derech Eretz, just to daven, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of our needs. The essence of the davening really is the middle part, the Bakoshas Tarachim. The Rambam writes, the Rambam's opinion is that there's a biblical obligation to daven once a day, every day. The fact that we daven three times a day, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, and on Shabbos, Yontif, we daven four times a day, Yom Kippur, we say Neilah, five times a day. So the Rambam says, davening so many times a day, that's Midirabbanon. The particular text of the davening that was composed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyla, a body of 120 Chachamim who lived at the beginning of the period of the Bayi Sheni, the particular text is Midrabbanan. But the framework that you have to have Shevach and Bakosh and Hoidoya, this is the Rambam's opinion, this is a biblical obligation. The Gemara in the first daf in Gemara Tainis learns it off in the Pasuk in Kriyashma. Liyovda b'chol levavchem. Avoida, service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means to do mitzvahs, to bring karbonis, to shake a lulav, to do all the different mitzvahs. So what do you mean, liyovda b'chol levavchem? I'm a Jew at heart. A lot of people say, I'm a Jew at heart. What do you mean? God wants you to do mitzvahs. So the Gemara understands, liyovda b'chol levavchem, to daven. That you have to daven, the essence of davening is to daven with your heart. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in one of his svarim and one of his truths, is bothered with Akasha. On Shabbos and Yantar, we leave out all of the middle brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei. So you leave out all of the bakashas tzarachim, all the requests. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us chachma, to give us refuah, and to give us parnasa, and everything. We ask to everything. Geula, Yeshua, everything. So if you leave out all the bakoshes in the middle, so you just left with the shevach and the hoidoya, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the essence of the davening is missing. So according to the Rambam, that there's an obligation in Torah to daven once a day, every day. How is one in fulfillment of the mitzvah on Shabbos Yonder when you leave out all of the middle brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei? So Rav Moshe Feinstein explains that on Shabbos and Yom Tov also we have Bakoshes Tarachim. The concluding paragraph in the middle bracha is always Bakoshes Tarachim. Elokeinu Kevaseinu, Ritzei B'mnuchaseinu, please accept our observance of Shabbos Katshenu B'mitzvasecha, sanctify us with the mitzvah, Tar Lebeinu Li'avtecha B'yemes, and so on. The concluding paragraph in the middle bracha on Shabbos and Yom Tov is always a Bakosha. But instead of having Bakoshes for Gashmi's Dikah needs, for Parnasa and Refuah, and other things, in Geula and Yeshua, we ask for Ruchnias Dikah, things that we have. And even on Rosh Hashanah, when we say in the Musab Dikah Shemoneh Esrei, we add three brachas in the middle, Malchias and Zechrenis and Shofis, the concluding paragraph of each one of those, Malchias, Zechrenis, Shofis, is always Bakosha. We say at the end of Malchias, Elokeinu HaSeinu Melech HaKol HaOlam Kulo B'Chvodecha, please demonstrate that you are the king over the world, and so on. And then at the end of Zechrenis, Elokeinu HaSeinu Zechrenim B'Zikaron Davar Lefanecha, for K'teinim B'Fkudus Yeshua V'Rachamim. Also, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should remember us and show for us also. The concluding paragraph is Elokeinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, T'kar B'Shoy F'Gor L'Chei V'Seinu. So each, the essence of the davening really is the Bakoshes Tzarachim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take care of all of our needs. Derech Eretz dictates you should begin with Shevach and conclude with Hoidoya. But the essence is really the middle part, the Bakoshes Tzarachim. And even on Shabbos and Yontov, we also say Bakoshes Tzarachim. The Gemara learns that from the Psukim, that when you daven, you have to introduce the davening, Yisadu Adem Shvach HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You always have to introduce your tefillas with shevach, and then comes the essence of the davening is the bakoshes. One is in fulfillment of this din, the Gimel Rishonis, the first three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei are all shevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So strictly speaking, one has fulfilled this requirement by saying the first three brachas. The Gemara says, you enhance this Yisadar Adam Shvacha by reciting Psukei Dezimra. Before, let's say, by Mincha, you say Ashrei. And by Shachris and Ma'ariv, you say the Birchas Kriya Shema. So the Birchas Kriya Shema, and then you recite the Shemona Esrei. So the Birchas Kriya Shema are an enhancement of this requirement of praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saying Shebach, and then later on having the Bakoshes Terachim. And then in Shachris, we even have the long Psukah de Zimra. Mincha, you only have Ashrei. Shachris, you have a longer Psukah de Zimra, where it's more Shebach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Years ago in Europe, the women were really not educated, so the women a lot of times didn't know how to daven. So the women didn't daven, they just said Moida'ani every day. So the one of the standard commentaries on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, writes that the women are in fulfillment of the davening min HaTorah when they say Moida'ani every day. They don't say the whole Shema Nesu, they say Moida'ani. So Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that that's not to be understood. How can it be? Moedani is hoidoya. You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam quotes the Gemara that the obligation to daven once a day, every day, is only fulfilled if you daven with that framework. You have to start with Shevach, conclude with hoidoya. Moedani would be nice at the end of the davening. But you say Moedani and that's the whole davening. You have to ask for something. You have to have Bakoshes Terachim. Davening is really based on our belief in Yichud Hashem. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, so not only does it mean that we believe in monotheism, only one God, as opposed to the Catholics who believe in the Trinity, as opposed to other religions where they have even more than three gods, we believe in one God. But Yichud Hashem means much more than that. It means that we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in full control of everything. The Rambam lists off what he considers are the 13 Ikari HaEmunah of our religion. So one of them is that the only daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't ask anybody else for anything, and you have to believe that the one is in full control of everything is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Gemara tells us if a person wants to be blessed with children, so he should do X, Y, Z, and then he should offer a tefillah. And a person wants to make a good parnasa, the Gemara says, do X, Y, Z, and then offer a tefillah. Whenever you want to be successful in life in any area, you have to offer a tefillah. The pasuk in Tehillim says, al zos yispalo kol chosid le'is mitzo, that when a person is single and he's interested in getting married, you have to offer a tefillah. You have to daven that you should get the right tefillah, you shouldn't fall in, you shouldn't make a mistake. Whenever you're taking medication, so the Gemara, whenever you swallow a pill, you have to say, yiratzen she'yehes exili lirfua, everything should be lirfua, you have the surgery. Whenever you have every step in life, you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to offer a tefillah. Tefillah is because we believe in Yichud Hashem, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is in full control of everything in the world. The Ramban is disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a whole sefer on mitzvahs. He lists off which in his. The Gemara tells us in different places there's 613 mitzvahs. The Gemara doesn't tell us which are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote the sefer on mitzvahs. The Rambam was not the first and he was not the last. Before the days of the Rambam, the days of the Gaonim, others wrote a different listing of which are the 613 mitzvahs. After the days of the Rambam, you have different svarim, we've written many, it's a whole literature. Which are the 613 mitzvahs? So the Ramban has a lot of points where he disagrees with the Rambam's listing. So the Ramban thinks that daven every day is only midirabbanan. He doesn't agree with the Rambam. He thinks that the obligation to daven midatar is only when there's a tzora, tfila b'yes tzora, and it's only when there's a tzora satzibur. When there's an epidemic, when there's a plague, when there's a war, when there's an earthquake, when there's some major catastrophe, and people are really concerned, so when there's a tzoras hatzibur, then there's an obligation to daven. The Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam feels that the obligation to daven is every day. So Rav Soloveitchik used to think that even the Rambam agrees that the obligation to daven is beis tzora, but it doesn't have to be tzoras hatzibur, even tzoras hayachid, and that the human situation is so fragile that human beings are always be'ez tzara. A person could be, he was extremely wealthy, and he loses all of his money overnight. Person could be completely healthy, and then he gets a heart attack and he dies the very next day. So the human situation is always such that perhaps it's always be'ez tzara. But the ikar of tefillah really is tefillah be'ez tzara, when you have tzarachim, when you have needs. If a person would be missing anything, there wouldn't be any tzara. He's not missing anything, so there's no room to daven. There's a famous comment that the Nochash was punished in Parshas Bereishis for getting Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So part of the punishment was Ofer Tochel Kol Yemei Chayecho. Apparently, before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the Nochash used to eat normal fruits and vegetables, and after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, he was punished that he eats Ofer. I'm not sure exactly what that corresponds to, but that's the simple reading of the pasuk. So the Medrash has a comment that when a human being wants to take revenge of someone else who ba'avled him, so they'll take nekama, they'll destroy the person's marriage, they'll destroy his parnosa, they'll destroy his reputation, they'll utterly destroy the person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very kind, and even though he wants to punish the Nochash brought Misa Lo'olam because of the Nochash, because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, people sometimes die at a much younger age than they should have. So the Nochash deserved to be punished. But he wasn't punished that much. That is not that bad, that wherever the Nochash goes, there's always offer to eat. Before the chet of the Eitz Hadas, if the Nochash wouldn't find any fruits or vegetables, he would go hungry. He wouldn't have anything to eat. But after the Chet Eitz Hadas, the Nochash eats an offer, so wherever he goes, always offer. So Makshim Ha'olam, the Beltfek Takashe, so what was the punishment? It turns out that crime pays because the Nochash sinned, so he never has a Dangas HaParnosa, he never has to worry about eating any food, there's always offer available wherever he goes, any desert island where there's nothing growing, no vegetation, there's always going to be offer to eat. So it was one of the early Hasidic Rebbes, Rabbi Tzvi Levurka, made a comment. The punishment of the Nachash was that he'll never be lacking anything, he'll always have food to eat, and therefore he never has the right to daven. If you're missing something, then you have a right to daven. You need a shidduch, you need parnasa, you need refuah. Whenever you're lacking something, whenever there's a tzara, whenever you need something, so you have a right to daven. But if the Nachash is never missing anything, so he has no right to daven, and that is a punishment, that you don't have the right to daven. I remember years ago, every summer for the last 20 years or so, I go to Eretz Yisrael to spend a few weeks with the NCSY learning program. They have a group of high school boys from all over the United States, some from Europe, some from Eretz Yisrael. They come and they learn together, they do tiulim in Eretz Yisrael, they fall in love with Eretz Yisrael, and they do sports a little bit, and they learn. So whoever, I learn there for one shift for 3 weeks. The whole program is 6 weeks. If you know of any high school students who want to, boys who want to spend the summer, there's a separate program for girls and separate for boys. It's a very nice program. So one summer, they had one of the rabbanim, used to be a rabbi in Florida, told over the following story, that he used to be in Miami, I think. So he said that a boy came to the JCC in Miami. He thought that he was Jewish. It turned out that his father was Jewish and his mother was not Jewish. After they came to that realization, so they sent him to the Christian community center that they should work with him. He had a psychological problem. What was his problem? His mother had passed, his non-Jewish mother had passed away. His Jewish father was alive. And the father was going to remarry. And the new wife didn't want to have this teenager roaming around the house. She only agreed to marry the father if he'll somehow get rid of his son. So the father was a wealthy man. So he bought the son an automobile and an apartment in a different city, and he gave him a credit card, and he said, whatever, you can charge whatever you want to the credit card, I'll cover everything on the condition that you disappear from my life. He never comes home to the father. So the boy was distraught over that. He had no problems at all. He has a car, and he has an apartment, and he has a credit card. He can buy whatever he wants. But he didn't have a father to talk to. He didn't have a father to talk to. So he came for, so he needed psychological help. That's what davening is all about. Davening is we speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are philosophers who believe that it's impossible to have prophecy. How can the infinite God communicate with the finite human being? And it doesn't make any sense that man should daven to the Rebbe Shalom. How can you have communication between the infinite God and the finite human being? So the Rambam writes, one of the 13 principles of Emunah, one of the 13 principles of faith of our religion is, we believe in prophecy, we believe that Nevuah is possible. There used to be Nevi'im. Then after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, the Gemara points out, the Psukim seem to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset. He was angry at Bnei Yisrael. They had an opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and most of them chose to stay behind. Hardly anybody came, just a very small group of people, 40,000 or so, came back to Eretz Yisrael, and there were thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people stayed behind the Golas Bavel. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo was angry at Bnei Yisrael. He said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. So he only sent three prophets, Chagas, Zechariah, and Malachi, because the halacha says you cannot build a Beis HaMikdash without express authorization from the Nevi'im. So each one of the three prophets, Chagas, Zechariah, and Malachi, gave a different aspect of prophecy about the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and bringing the Karbonis, and that's it. And Malachi signs off, Zichur Taras Moshe Abdi, you better observe all the mitzvahs. In the Torah, I'm the last Navi. Malachi signs off, I'm the last Navi until Eliyahu. Navi who will come before Mashiach, he will announce the coming of Mashiach. So there were no Nevi'im at that time. So, but in the future, the Tanakh promises that there will be Nevi'im. So we believe there was Nevu and there will be Nevu. We're living in a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is punishing the Jewish people. Usually the Nevi'im, the role of a Navi is to give Musa, to give Tochacha. When the people are sinning, the Navi should straighten us out. So because the Jewish people didn't want to come back after the Golas Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in advance, he's going to punish us. If you don't come back, he's going to discontinue Nevu. But in principle, we believe there is such a thing as Nevu. And included in this Iker of Nevu, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, included in the Iker, the 13 Ikori Hamuna, included in this principle is the principle of Tefillah. That just like there can be communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, so too there can be communication from us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Psukim in Chumash tell us, Psukim and Tanakh tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemea Tefillah, Shemea Tefillah Adecha Kabasa Yavayu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to all of the prayers. He doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says yes. Just because he says no, the parents don't always give in to every request that their children make. Sometimes the request makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. So we have to daven. So that's a schus that we have. That was the punishment of the Nachash. That because he's not lacking anything, so he doesn't have the right to daven. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're missing a lot of things, that we have the right to daven. It's interesting, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he offered a beautiful tefillah, which is recorded both in, twice in Tanakh, recorded in Sefer Melochim, and it's recorded in Divrei HaYomim, a slight shinuyim between the two, slight discrepancies. So one would have thought that he's going to speak about the significance of the Beis HaMikdash, that you bring the Karbonis there. He doesn't talk about Karbonis, he said the role, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash, that we should come to daven. The Jews should come to daven, and the goyim should come to daven. Whenever there'll be any problem, we should come to the Rabbanu Shalom's home, the Beis Hashem, and we should offer tefillah stakodesh baruch hu. Ki beis beis tefillah yikari l'chol ha'amim. The essence of the Beis, it's also a beis, a beis for hakrovas hakarbonis, but he doesn't mention that in his tefillah. They certainly brought karbonis, but the main purpose that he talks about, the main purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was that... that we should offer tefillahs there. And the tefillah is always be'ez tzorah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Maybe the Rambam's opinion is that not only tzorahs harabim, even tzorahs hayochid, and the human situation is so fragile, people should realize that they always need tefillah. Even if everything is going well, they need tefillah. We have a concept, I came in by car from New York, so we have a concept of tefillahs haderech. What is tefillahs haderech all about? So the Pashtus, Rav Soloveitchik used to understand, Tefillas Aderech is based on, the Gemara has a statement, that kol adrochem mecheska sakona. All the highways, when you travel on a highway, it's always a little bit of a sakona. That's how the Chazal understood, we just read, Yaakov Avinu was afraid to let Binyamin go down to Egypt. Yosef told the brothers, he's not going to give them any more food, not going to sell them any more grain unless they come with Binyamin. So Yaakov Avinu was afraid, pen yukreinu osam, lest an accident will happen. An accident can happen in the house also. The roof can cave in on him. So if you're worried about an accident, why is it? What are you only worried on the highway? So the Gemara says, because kol adrach mecheska sakona, all the highways, whenever you're traveling, there's always danger. I came with a young man who knows how to drive well, but there are other drivers on the highway who are shikurim. They can crash into us. So we said tefillas aderech when we traveled on the highway. Kol adrach mecheska sakana, v'hasota mekatreg b'shas hasakana. The Gemara has a different understanding of the pasuk. Not that Yaakov Avinu was afraid of an accident. The Gemara understands in Ksuba. The Gemara says, "Asan means misa b'dei shamayim." Yankov Avinu was concerned that maybe Binyamin did an avera and he deserves to be punished with Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's what Asan means. And Asotam Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakonim. The Sotam may come to start up with Binyamin to take away his life when he's going on the highway because the Kol HaDroch Mecheska HaSakonim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. He used to say tefillah. He used to commute every week between Boston and New York. But then, in the early years, he used to come by train. And then, later years, he came by plane. And as he got so used to traveling by plane, the plane didn't shake at all. He could write, he could learn on the plane. So he said he stopped saying Tfilas Aderech. He didn't feel any sakana at all. He thought you only say Tfilas Aderech if you sense somewhat what the sakana is. But let's say there are people who commute every day, they go to work every day, and they say they can drive with their eyes closed. We hope they're not doing that. But they say they're so used to it, they don't feel nervous at all. They know the whole thing. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that you don't say Tfilas Aderech. Tfilas Aderech is only a tefillah be'eis tzara, b'shas ha-sakana, if you sense that there's a shtikl sakana. But if the person is so used to it, he doesn't feel that there's any sakana at all, then the pashtus says that there's no room for the tefillah. It's interesting, the philosophers, the Jewish philosophers in the Middle Ages raise an issue. What is the davening all about? If I deserve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take care of my needs, he should take care of it even if I don't ask him. And if I don't deserve, he shouldn't give me anything even if I do ask him for it. So why is there any room for prayer? What is davening all about? So some of the philosophers from the Middle Ages write that a lot of people are borderline. They deserve a little bit, they don't fully deserve. So if they humble themselves and they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so because they humble themselves and now they're more worthy, and maybe now, maybe before they didn't deserve that the request should be granted, and now maybe they do deserve. So one of the great Gedolim who lived 200 years ago writes, the author of the Nesivos, writes in his Sefer HaChumash in Nachlas Yaakov, that he doesn't think that that's correct. He quotes what the Jewish philosophers from the Middle Ages, he doesn't think it's correct. He said, that's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He wanted to have tefillah. Just like in college, a lot of times, in graduate school, you have to fill out a request in triplicate and black ink in the square letters. If you don't fill it out properly, he said, your request is not granted. So Ribbono Shel Olam wanted, we should daven. In fact, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, most of what Rashi writes on Chumash is always quotations from the Tanoim, from the Amoraim, from the Mishnayos, from the Gemara, from the Midrashim. Whenever Rashi talks about Dikduk, that he's on his own, that he didn't get from the Midrashim or from the Gemara. But whenever Rashi gives a comment, almost all the comments are straight from the Gemara, the Midrash. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, I think it's in second chapter in Bereishis, where the pasuk reads, V'chalsiach ha'sada term yeh ba'aretz. The bushes didn't start, shrubbery didn't start growing yet. The grass didn't grow. Ki lohim ter Hashem al ha'aretz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring any rain. But Adamayin, Adam Rishon, wasn't yet created. Labadas Adama. Adam Rishon wasn't created. Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereshis. Adam Rishon was not yet created. So Rashi quotes a fascinating interpretation of the Medrash. Siach hasada doesn't mean bushes. In this pasuk, siach hasada means prayer. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada, and you have pasuk in Metilim also. Tefila le'anikiyata filifnei Hashem yishpach sichai. Sicha, sometimes the Gemara understands in Tanakh. Gemara understands pasuk Tanakh siach means to carry on a conversation. So the Medrash interprets the pasuk. Maybe it's not the pshuto shel mikra means that the bushes weren't growing and the grass wasn't growing because it didn't rain yet. But the additional level of interpretation that the Medrash puts into the pasuk is Chalsiach Hasada, that no one was davening for any rain because Adam Rishon wasn't created yet. But the mind la'avoides Adam, avoid means avoides shebelev. Adam Rishon wasn't created yet. When Adam Rishon will be created, then he'll realize that if it doesn't rain, vegetation is not going to grow. And if there's no vegetation, there's no food, there's no water, the animals are going to die, nothing is going to grow, then Adam Rishon davens. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't bring the rain until Adam Rishon prayed for the rain. You know, in Yiddish there's an expression, if you have a pocket sitter, so all the letters are much tinier, and then it says sometime, in the summertime you say the same bracha, in wintertime you say the same talamata, so that's even tinier than the other letters in the sitter, because it has to say on this side of the column. In the summertime, you say that. In wintertime, you say that. So in Yiddish, there's an expression, Azai Grais, we have Talamot and Aklein Sidril. It's such little letters, like when it says the same Talamot and little Sidr, that's tiny little letters. So if you say the same Talamot in the summertime when it's not supposed to rain, or you say the same Bracha in the wintertime, you're not Yotze the davening. Such tiny letters, what's such a big difference? Whether you said same Talamot, you didn't say same Talamot. It makes a difference. You're not Yotze the davening. The tefillah was composed by the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle. The Gemara says, who are the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle? A body of a group of 120 Chachamim. The Israeli Knesset has 120 members, paralleled after the Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle. Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle were big tzaddikim. They weren't Arabs, and they weren't anti-religious people. They were big Talmid Chachamim. So the Gemara says, Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle was a body of 120 Chachamim, Ubehem Kamanavim. And amongst them were several prophets. What was the significance? What was the significance of mentioning Abraham Kamenavim? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in his sefer Nefesh HaChayim, Ubehem Kamenavim, you have to have a koyach hanavua. You have to be a nabi to know how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what to ask for. The Gemara has this, that there was a person was once a shliach tzibur. He was davening saying Chazaras HaShatz in shul. And he was adding on to the Shemana Esri. Instead of just saying Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibah, Hanoira, he was adding on more adjectives. Like we say when we say Piyutim, when you say Marabis, and so on. So one of the Chachamim told him, you've exhausted all the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Siyamtinu L'Kul HaShvach, the Mari Alma. He said, you're not, the Gemara says, we shouldn't add on to the praising of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because sometimes I'm going to say things that are ridiculous. You have to be a novi to know how to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, the farmer has no hasoga of wealth. Years ago, the farmers were poor people. So the farmer's going to praise the king. The king is so rich, he has $1,000 in his bank account. $1,000 in the bank account is a joke. Poor people also have $1,000 in the bank account. So we shouldn't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may say things, and we may say things that are ridiculous. The Anshe Knesset HaGdoyle had among their group several prophets, several Nevi'im, and they were the ones who composed most of the Nusach HaTfilah. Some of the Tfilahs had to be changed after the destruction of the Second Beis HaMikdash. At that time, there were no more Nevi'im. The only three Nevi'im that they had were the beginning of the Beis Sheni. This was, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed many years later. But the Tfilahs were composed initially by Pikba, Big Tzadikim, based on Ruach HaKodesh, based on Nevuah. And in fact, the Gemara points out how many units you have in the Shemana Esrei has to also be based on Nevuah. So when they composed the Shemana Esrei, the Shemana Esrei used to have 18 brachas, the first three and the last three, and then another 12 in the middle. And then they decided to add another brachas, and they made it 19. So when they decided initially to have 18 brachas, so it's based on a source in Tanakh that it's meaningful, it's significant to have a prayer that has 18 units. When they felt compelled to add another bracha, so they had to find a source in Tanakh that you have a right to make a tefillah with 19 parts. And in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah says that when there were goyes of tainus, when there wouldn't be any rain, in Eretz Yisrael years ago, when there was no rain, it was a sakonas nefoshes. In recent years, they already learned how to desalinate water. So even if it doesn't rain, you can take the water from the Mediterranean and take out the salt. So they had in the newspapers a few years ago, every year in Eretz Yisrael, there's always a problem with rain. There's not enough rain. So the Rabbanut has young Talmid HaChacham, the younger rabbis. So there was one point a couple of years ago that they wanted to be goyes of tainus, that everybody should be requested to fast because it's a sakana. So the older Rabbanim were laughing at the people, and I said, what are you, crazy? Years ago, if there was no rain, it's a sakanas nefoshes. Now it's just going to cost you a lot of money, but there's no sakanas nefoshes. They can remove all the salt from the water of the Mediterranean, and you can water the ground. But that, it'll cost you a lot of money, but there's no sakanas nefoshes. So you're not goyes of tainus. But in the days of the Tanaim, when there was no rain, it was a big sakana, and there would be goyes of tainus. When the Chazan would repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, he would add on another six brachas to the Shemoneh Esrei. So instead of 18 brachas, there were 24 brachas. And at the end of each one of those six additional brachas that the Chazan added on to the Shemoneh Esrei, there were blow shofar, tkiyah, tshuah, tkiyah, like we do on Rosh Hashanah after Malchus, Achronis, and Shofaris. So the Gemara says, when they added on the six brachas, and the Shemoneh Esrei was no longer 18, it was 24 brachas, they had to have a source in Tanakh that you have a right to offer a tefillah with 24 units. And on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the tefillah, the Shemoneh Esrei, doesn't have 18. They have first three brachas, the last three, and one bracha in the middle. So there's the source in Tanakh. You have a right to compose a tefillah with 7 units. And on Rosh Hashanah, we should really say, when we daven Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, we should really have 10 brachas. We should really have the first three brachas, Shevach, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last three brachas, Hoidoya, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the middle of Malchus, Achrayin, and Shofas, that's 3, 3, and 3 is 9. Then we should have had a 10th bracha about the Kedusha Sayyim, like on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. The middle bracha is always about Kedusha Sayyim. So there really should have been 10 brachas. But the Gemara says, there's no source in Tanakh that you have a right to compose a tefillah with 10 units, and you have to have a source in Navi. All the nusach of the tefillah was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who amongst their group was Kama Navi, several prophets. And you have to have a source in Tanakh, a source in Navi, that you have a right to compose a tefillah with so many units. So there is no source for 10 brachas. There's a source for 9 brachas. Tefillah Schana. She mentioned Shem Hashem 9 times. There's no source for 10 brachas. So all the Tanoim say, you have to take 10 brachas and combine two together. So there's a three-way machlokes HaTanoim on Rosh Hashanah when you daven Musaf, which two themes do you combine together? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he was a Tana in the days of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri felt that you should include Malchus and Ata Kodesh or Shimcha Kodesh, because in Aseret Yemei end off HaMelech HaKodesh instead of Akel HaKodesh. So since you're gonna, it contains the theme of Malchus anyway, HaMelech HaKodesh, so you should add the whole Malchus with all the psukim in the middle of Ata Kodesh, and then the next bracha will be about Kedusha Sayyim, Mekadosh Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron, and then Zecharinus and Shofaris. That opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that you can buy Malchus with Ata Kodesh, HaMelech HaKodesh, was followed for many years in the Galil, the Gemara says. In a big section there, so they followed his opinion. But that was not the generally accepted opinion. So the generally accepted opinion is like Rabbi Akiva, that we combine together the bracha of Kedusha Sayyim and Malchus. So we combine the two together, because you have no right to make a tefillah with 10 units. You have to have a tefillah with 9 units. So you have to combine two brachas together. So we combine together Malchus with the Kedusha Sayyim. And when we say the Chasimu, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech al Kol Haaretz, Mekadosh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron. Melech al Kol Haaretz is the bracha for Malchus. Mekadosh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron is the bracha for Kedusha Sayyim. So we combine those two together, because the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. So it's not really two different themes. And then there was a third opinion that never really took... was never really followed in too many communities. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Gamliel's opinion that the middle three brachas on Malchus, the first three brachas of the Shemoneh Esrei are the same as they always are, the last three are the same, and the middle three are Malchus and Shofaris, and the Kedusha Sayyim you put in the middle, in the middle of Zechrinus. And some of the Sfardish Siddurim still have Yalav Yavai in the middle of Zechrinus. And the normal Siddurim, you don't have it. But some of the Svarish Siddurim have Yalav Yavad. That's a carryover from the days of Rabbi Gamliel. So the Gemara says the tefillahs were composed by Nevi'im, and the nusach of the tefillah has to be based, that's the premise, there's a Sefer Abu Dram. Abu Dram works on the premise that the whole tefillah is often in Biblical Hebrew, and he gives you the source in Tanakh for every phrase in the Shemoneh Esrei, every phrase in Kiddush and Abdallah and so on. So the... the nusach ha-tefillah and the number of brachas and the tefillah is all al-pi nevuah. So this little tiny word, the same talamot, the same bracha, it's a tiny, tiny little word in the siddur, but it's very crucial. It's based on the way the chachamim understood that pasuk, v'chalsiach ha-sar ha-tem yeh ba-aretz, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't bring rain in the beginning, and Sheshes Meibra didn't rain till he created Adam Arishan. And Adam Arishan offered the prayer for the rain. He realized that without rain, nothing is going to grow. The Gemara has a very interesting comment that people are learning Daf Yomi now, so it's going to come up very soon. The Gemara says, how do we know from Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also davens? What do you mean, Ribbono Shel Olam davens? Who does he daven to? He davens to himself. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, V'havi yosem l'harkot shebisei machtem v'beis tefilah si. Beis tefilah si, Pasha Pshat means the beis tefilah, which is my home. So the Gemara understands it to mean beis tefilah si, the home where I myself daven, the Ribbono Shel Olam prays. What is that all about? What do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam prays? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested maybe Pshat is like this. The Chumash gave us a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachov. We should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should we imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Sometimes I have a little boy, he makes believe that he's a doctor. So he'll take your blood pressure and make believe that he's whatever. Well, it imitates a doctor. Someday he may grow up to be a doctor, so it makes sense he should imitate a doctor. A little girl imitates her mommy. So she puts on a big hat, or she puts on a shetel, and she puts on high heels, and she screams at the younger children. That's the definition of a mommy. You scream at the younger children. You give patch to the younger children. So someday she probably will be a mother. So it makes sense that she's imitating their mother. But why should we imitate the ways of God? He's considering retiring, and he's looking for a mamale mokum. Why should we? It doesn't make sense. Why should we imitate the ways of God? So the Pasha Pshat is not that we want to become God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, B'Tzelem Elokim. The Pashtus is all human beings were created. Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem. The Pashtus Pshat. Some Rishonim learn Chaviv Adam, Adam Rishonim. It was created B'Tzelem Elokim. But most Mefarshim learn Chaviv Adam, all human beings were created B'Tzelem Elokim. And the Torah instructs us, V'halach L'Bedrocha, we should do whatever is necessary to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we were born with. We already have the Tzelem Elokim. We should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. So how does one preserve it? For halachta bedrachov, to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you know? How do you know what are the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam writes, you have to look in Chumash, in Nevi'im, and see how the Tanakh describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing his daily activities. That's the way to figure out what are Darchei Hashem. That's how to fulfill the halachta bedrachov, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was created within you. So we have Lamashal the Pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kodesh Ani Hashem Elokechem. We were created B'Tzelem Elokim, so we should imitate the ways of Hashem, Kedoshim Tiyu, Ki Kodesh Ani. That's one of the ways of Halachta B'Drachav. Or the Pasuk says, V'yam Shvi Shabbos V'ayin Afash. The Torah says we should observe Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Shesh Yismei Bereshis, then He rested. The Ribbono Shel Olam had to work so hard. We work hard. By the time it comes Friday night, I'm exhausted. I work hard a whole week. I run around. The Ribbono Shel Olam didn't have to work hard. So what do you mean? Yom Shri Shabbos Vayinafash. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, again, quotes from the Tanoim. Hichtiv biyatzma menucha. The Ribbono Shel Olam dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right in the Chumash, Yom Shri Shabbos Vayinafash. He relaxed, he rested. It's not really true. It's not a lie, but it's not true either. He didn't work hard. The Rotzon Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a wish that there should be a world should come into existence. So the world came into existence, a beautiful world. He didn't have to work hard. But Hichtiv V'yatzmo, he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right Shabbos Vayinafash, so that will be part of a halachta bidrachim. So the human beings will know that if they'll observe Shabbos, that'll be a way for them to preserve their Tzelem Elokim. So the same is true over here, the Marshal. There's a Medrash learns out from Psukim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu created many different worlds. Bara Yalomus and Machrivan. He created a world and he said, I don't like this world. He destroyed it. Then he created another world. So I don't like this world. He destroyed it. He created a third world. There are many worlds he created. So what do you mean? A human being has chalamas. He says he's going to marry this kind of a girl and he's going to have so many children. He's going to live in such a city and he's going to be next to a river and he has chalamas. How his life is going to proceed? And then he marries a girl, not exactly what he was dreaming of, and he lives in a home, not exactly the way he was dreaming. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, if he wanted to have a beautiful world, it's going to be a beautiful world. So what the Ramban HaChumash asked that question. It says every day, Vayar Elokim v'hinei tov, Vayar Elokim kitov. Of course it's going to be kitov. If the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to create a world that's going to look awful, it's going to look awful. He wanted it to look great, it's going to look great. Whatever he wished, whatever he wanted. The Ratzon Hashem brought all the things into existence. So if the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to have a beautiful rose, of course it's going to be beautiful. What do you mean? He passes judgment after he creates it. We say, ooh, that's beautiful. He wanted it to be beautiful. Of course it's going to be beautiful. So the Ramban has an interpretation on that pasuk. What does it mean by Yara Lekim Kitov? So here also, what does this medrash mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world and he said, I don't like it, he destroyed it. When he creates another world, I don't like it, he destroyed it. Manam Shach, if he created it, means that he wanted it to be like that. Why did he destroy it? Whatever he wanted, that's the way it's going to be. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it's also Hichtiv Biatzmo. He told the Nevi'im that they should write as if. It's not really what happened. Not that he was disappointed that the way it turned out. If that's the way he wanted it, that's the way it's going to come out. Hichtiv Biatzmo. He dictated to the Nevi'im, write it in the Tanakh, that I created worlds and I destroyed them, that people should know that they can do tshuva even at the age of 85. Even if a person lived a whole life and he wasted all of his time doing stupid things, doing averis, he can always do it. But Hashem created a world and he destroyed it, then he created another world, he destroyed it. So human beings can do the same. He can always start all over again, a lot of times like that. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought is the pshat and his gemara. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu davens? What do you mean he davens? It doesn't make sense. He had the Nevi'im say a Nevu'ah that the Rabban Shalom davens, that we should know that that too, when we daven, that's a chelika preserving the Tzelem Elokim. One of the ways to preserve the Tzelem Elokim, like Kedoshim Tik, Kodesh Ani, Mahu Racham, Mahu Chanan, and so on, Mahu Kaiver Mesa, Mahu Masi Amonis, and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that he davens. We should know that when we daven, that will enhance, that will preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we were all created with. A lot of times people offer tefillahs and they don't really know what they ask for. Rav Soloveitchik mentioned on many occasions how many tefillahs he offered when he was in Europe. He didn't want to come to America. The Treifen in Medina. He wanted to stay in Europe. All the tzaddikim, all the tamir chachamim, all the chassidim, everybody lived in Europe. He said if his prayers would have been answered, he probably would have been killed by the Nazis like everybody else. And then when he was already in America, so when Dr. Rebel was the first president, Dr. Rebel was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva College. At that time it wasn't yet a university, and he was the president of the college. And when he passed away, there were two positions available, Rosh Yeshiva position and president of the college. So the Talmidim chose Dr. Belkin as the Rosh Yeshiva, because Rabbi Soloveitchik was very snappy at that time. And he would be very strict, and he would humiliate the students. And he was very, very touchy. And Dr. Belkin was a nice, friendly person. And he used to give the boy, he used to read the boy shiduchim, he used to give money for the dates. And Rabbi Soloveitchik was going back to Boston all the time. Dr. Belkin lived in New York. He stayed there. So the students chose Dr. Belkin to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Then there was a Gansa Machloikas who should be the president of the college. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, how many tefillahs he offered? He wanted to be the president of the college. And he says, he thanks the Rabban Shalom every day that he didn't make him the president. He said, that would have ruined him. Dr. Belkin became the president of the college, and then they pressured him. He needs a medical school and a law school and a this school and a that school. And he made all the graduate schools, and he made it into Agansa University, and he couldn't learn a word in the last years of that. Couldn't learn a word. He was out of learning. So Rabbi Soloveitchik would thank the Rabbanu Shel Olam that he didn't listen to his prayers. And he would comment that when we say Shema Kolenu towards the end of the middle brachas of the Shemone Esrei, we say Skabel Berachamim Uveratzen Es Tfiloseinu. The Rebbeinu Shalom should filter out our prayers. He shouldn't accept every stupid bakosha that we offer. Sometimes a person prays to Rebbeinu Shalom, he's chalashing to marry that girl. That'll ruin him if he marries that girl. He's chalashing, he wants to get into that graduate school, he wants to get a job in that company. That'll ruin him, that'll destroy him. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel Berachamim Uveratzen Es Tfiloseinu, you should accept our prayers, those that you know that they make sense. If it doesn't make sense, don't accept the prayers. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch where the duchening, we only duchen on Yomim Tovim, but by the Svardim they duchen like it's supposed to, they duchen every day. So the Gemara says once a day, every day, the Kohanim is supposed to duchen when they request of them, they should duchen. We have a difficult reason why we only request of the Kohanim that they should duchen on Yomim Tovim. So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch whether the mitzvah of duchening applies today min HaTorah. Why should it not apply to Pasuk and the Chumash? Because Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael. So Rabbi Yankev Emden, the Mishnah Brura, quotes Rabbi Yankee Femden, has a sefer on Shulchan Aruch, on Aruch Haim, the Morik Tzia. Rabbi Yankee Femden writes in his sefer that Duchenik today is only Midirabbonim, because the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. Vayis Aaron is Yod HaBalam, Vayivorchem, Vayered Mi'asos Achatos Ve'olo. That Aaron HaKoyin raised his hands and he said, Nesias Kapayim Hiduchen, at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonis Tziba, Vayered Mi'asos Achatos Ve'olo. Rabbi Yankee Femden said, the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Saitan, Perek El and Amorim. The Gemara has all the dinim of duchening there. So the Gemara says, you only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonis Tzibur. And the Beis HaMikdash, they would duchen every day at the conclusion of the Hakrobas Tamid Shel Shachar. Every morning they would duchen. But today there's no Beis HaMikdash, no Karbonis. So duchening cannot possibly be min HaTorah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from Rabbi Yankee Femden Sefer, and he says, with all due respect, it's against all the sources. He quotes a Gemara and a Sifrua and a Sifrei, it's wrong. Duchening is derais. But he's wrong, but he's right. But the Gemara does say Duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrobus Karbonis Sibur. So how can it be? We don't have any Karbonis at all. So Rab Soloveitchik said over the following explanation from the Keren Ora. Keren Ora is a commentary on the Gemara Saita and all the Gemaras of Kochim. So the Keren Ora, with this is Rav Soloveitchik's embellishment. So he said, when we say Shema Koleinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kabel Barachamim Avrotzen Estvel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept all of our prayers. We said 13 brachas in the middle part of the Shema Nesra, and we have the bakoshes, so we offer 13 bakoshes. And in the last bakasha, we say, Shema Kaleinu Kabel Barachamim Avrotzen Estvel, accept all of our prayers. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shamea Tfilo. Then the next line, what do we say? We say, Hashem Alkeinu Be'am Chisol Avis Tfilosam. Please accept the Jewish people and their prayers. That's what you just said. That was the theme of the 13th middle bracha. You just said that a line before. It's Kabel Barachamim Avrotzen, Shamea Tfilo. You say again, it say, Be'am Chisol Avis Tfilosam, accept the prayers. So the Keren Ora explains that the term Ritzui appears in Tanakh very often. Ruba de Ruba, most of the time, this the Bala Tanya points out. Most of the time, the term, the Ritzui, the verb Ritzui appears in Tanakh in connection with Karbonis. When you have a Karbon and it's accepted, so it says, V'nirtza lo lechaper olav. Or when the Mishnayos will say the carbon is kosher, so they'll use the expression hurtza, the carbon is accepted. When you bring a carbon is not accepted, so the Mishnayos will say lo hurtza, the person is not yoytza, the carbon is not accepted, you have to bring the carbon over again. So when we say Shema Koleinu Kabel Barachamim Barotzen Estvel, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the tefillos, to accept the prayers. When we say Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu B'am Chisol Avisfilosam, what we're asking is something more than that. He should accept the prayers as if we had offered a carbon. So what kind of a carbon is it? So when we all daven tefillah belachash, the Gemara says that it's important to daven tefillah b'tzibur. Rather than everybody daven on his own, tefillah b'yochad, you should daven tefillah b'tzibur. And the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says that not everybody deserves that his prayers should be answered. Sometimes you're not so worthy of having your prayers answered. So the Gemara gives a mashal. If you buy a whole bushel of apples and one apple is rotten, so you can't come back to the store. You bought 50 apples. You can't come back and say one apple is rotten. I want my money back. It's understood that some of this stuff is going to be spoiled. If you buy one apple and the one apple is rotten, then you get your money back. So maybe you are the rotten apple. Maybe you don't deserve that your prayers should be answered. But if you daven tefillah b'tzibur, but the whole tzibur is davening together, so the Ribbono Shel Olam will accept even the rotten apple together with all the other apples. So the Gemara speaks about the significance of davening tefillah b'tzibur. And then even if a person davens b'yochid, the Gemara says when you say tefillah saderech, so even if a person is traveling on his own, he should say in plural. I came with one of the young men from the yeshiva, so for sure be said in plural. But the Gemara says, even if a person is saying tefillah saderech on his own, he says, v'salecheinu l'shalom, v'satzidenu l'shalom, he's saying the plural. He should always be mishatav himself with the tzibah. He should always daven together on behalf of the whole tzibah, daven tefillah v'tzibah. He should always try to daven tefillah v'tzibah. He stand a better chance of having a prayer answered. In fact, the Gemara talks about If a person always davens in the same spot, in the same location, some poskim say that he goes when he's davening at home. If you're davening in shul, maybe you don't need it. But if you're davening at home, you should always try to daven. When you're davening chiddush, you should always daven in the same place. Why? So the Gemara says it's somehow a sign of humility. The Gemara says when the person is careful to be kaveh makom letfilos, always davens in the same location. So when he dies and they'll deliver a hesped, so they'll say, hey chassid, hey onav, such a humble person. What does it have to do with humility? So the commentaries on the Gemara, that Tzlach explains there. If the person is concerned that maybe he doesn't deserve that his prayers should be answered, so he says he should daven in the same spot, the same location, and he offers a prayer. This prayer should be accepted together with all the other prayers that are davened in the same spot. So you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. In fact, when we introduce ourselves and when you start the Shema, it says Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yankov. So why do we mention Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov in the beginning of the Shema Esrei? So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain that the Gemara says Avraham Avinu was the one who instituted Shachris, Yitzchak was the one who instituted Mincha, and Yankov Avinu was the one who instituted Ma'ariv. And we're saying we want our prayers to be accepted with this old tradition. Our ancestors introduced the tefillahs, and so many centuries the Jewish people all davened. We want our tefillahs to be accepted along with the tefillahs of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov. So the Gemara says there's a concept, you daven tefillah b'tzibur, but it's basically tefillahs hayachid. The individual person is davening, but he stands a better chance of having his prayers answered if he davens b'tzibur. Then when the Chazan repeats the Shema Esrei, what motivated the Chachamim to introduce Chazoras HaShatz? So the Gemara says what motivated them was that they were people who didn't know how to daven. In the days of the Gemara, it was against the din to write the Nusach HaTfilah, because the Nusach HaTfilah was considered part of Torah Shebal Peh, and you weren't permitted to write down the Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh wasn't written until later. Rabbi Yudah Nasi was the one who edited the Mishnayos. But most of the history books and most of the Achrayim assume that the Mishnayos were not written down till the days of Ravina Rav Ashi. Then Ravina Rav Ashi were the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli, but the Talmud Bavli was not written down till centuries later, the days of the Gaonim. And there was a big machloikis in the days of the Gaonim. Should they write down the Talmud Bavli? They used to recite everything by heart. It's a mazel that they wrote it down. It's a mazel that if they wouldn't have written down, everything would have been lost. Everything would have been forgotten. So in the days of the Tanaim, you had to know how to daven Baal Peh, because the Nusach HaTfilah wasn't written down. They considered it part of Torah Shebaal Peh, and it was against the din to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. So there were a lot of people, Lehotzi Hasheni Yodeh, there were people who didn't know how to say Shemana Esrei. So they had to have the Chazan repeat the Shemana Esrei. So what motivated the Chachamim to introduce Chazaras HaShatz was to be Moitzi the Ein HaBoki, so that the one who doesn't know how to daven by heart, he'll be able to listen to the Chazan of B'yotze. But once they introduced it, now it takes on a life of its own. When the whole tzibur davens tefillah b'tzibur b'lachash, that's tefillah sayochid. The yochid is offering a prayer b'tzibur. When the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, the whole tzibur is offering one tefillah. Even the people who do know how to daven, and they already daven tefillah b'lachash, they're all mechuyev to listen to the Chazaras HaShatz. Can't say, I already daven, what do I need the Chazaras HaShatz for? No. When the person davens b'lachash, that's the tefillah sayochid. When the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei, that's the tefillah satzibur. So the Keren Oira explains, when the yochid davens tefillah b'lachash, and he says, Shema Koleinu, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, accept my prayers. Then he says, "Utzei b'amchi sola v'isfilos, accept the prayers as if I had offered a korban." So the tefillah sayochid is considered as if he offered a korban yochid. When the Chazan repeats the Chazaras HaShatz, that's a tefillah satzibur. And then he says, "Utzei." So he says, "Let my tefillah satzibur be accepted as if it had been a korban tzibur." So when the Chazan says, "Utzei," this converts min haTorah. The Keren Oira said, this works min haTorah. The tefillah satzibur is converted into a korban tzibur. It is considered at the conclusion of korbanos tzibur, you can duchen. So that's why the Keren Oira explained, that's why the din is that the Kohanim have to start moving to wash their hands and start walking up to the duchen, to the platform. They have to start walking before the Chazan finishes that bracha ritzei, because it's that bracha ritzei that enables them to duchen, because it's the bracha ritzei that converts the tefillah satzibur into the korban tzibur. And the Meforshim of the Gemara assume that this works min haTorah. It's a big chiddush that this works min haTorah. All of davening is based, as we said, all of davening is based on the pasuk of the b'chol avavchem, that davening is avodah shebelev. Unfortunately, those born in America Hebrew is not our mother tongue, so we don't understand Hebrew so well. So when you're davening in Hebrew, you have to daven slower to know what you're talking about. And you have to have in mind, you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Yoimid Lefnei HaMelech. If a person davens and he doesn't have this, even if he does know what the words mean, but he has to know that he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a big problem. If a person doesn't have that kavana, it's not tefillah, it's not an avodah shebelev. And Shulchan Aruch says, "Tov miat bekavana mehar b'shaloi bekavana." It's better to say less. It's better to cut down on what you say. See, in the Shemoneh Esrei, you can't cut down. You have to say all the 19 brachas. In Pesukah de Zimmer, you can abridge. You have to find out what you can leave out and what not. It's better to say less Pesukah de Zimmer, to know what you're talking about, rather than to say the whole Pesukah de Zimmer. V'hu rachum. For sure you can abridge. So you should find out how you can abridge v'hu rachum. We have added on over the centuries, we have added on so much to the davening, so we say so much more than they said in the days of the Tanaim, in so little time. How can you say so many words that people leave out every other syllable they leave out from the whole davening? And Shulchan Aruch says, "Tov miat bekavana, mehar b'shaloi bekavana." It's better to say less and to know what you're talking about than to say so much and not to know at all. There was a famous rabbi in New York City, Rabbi Huttner. He was the head of Chaim Berlin Yeshiva. So he had his own line that was famous for that. He said, "Tov miat shaloi bekavana, mehar b'shaloi bekavana." If you don't know what you're saying anyway, so it's better to say less than to say so much without knowing what you're talking about. So that's why in his yeshiva, they cut down on the slichas and they cut down on the kinnis. If you don't know what you're saying anyway, it doesn't make sense to daven and the people don't know what they're davening. That's a big problem. So everyone should try to, I always try to come 10 minutes early. I start davening 10 minutes before everybody else. And I daven slower. And I still don't say, even on Rosh Hashanah Kriya, I don't say the whole Pesukah de Zimmer. I abridge it. Every time there's a comma, there's a period. Hebrew is not my mother tongue. I was born in America. I was born in Pennsylvania. I was born in Scranton, but I lived in Philadelphia for a while. So you have to really, it's avodah shebelev, you have to know what you're talking about. I'll just conclude with this. The Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which is also a Mishnah in Brachas. The Daf Yomi people are going to get to it a little later. Mishnah says, repeated in two Masechtos, that ha'oseh tefilosa keva ain't tefilosa tachanunim. The Mishnah complains about someone who davens keva. What does it mean? What is the pirush amilas? So one opinion, the Gemara has two interpretations on the Mishnah. So one interpretation is, the person always davens at the 7 o'clock minyan. He always davens at the 7:30 minyan. So the Mishnah is opposed to that, because more correct is you should daven like Vasikin. You should daven in such a way that you say Kriya Shema right before the sun rises, and then you get to say Shema Nes right after the sun rises. Okay? So that's one. So there are the Vasikin minyanim. That's a nice thing. That's I'm going to sleep. When they're starting to daven Vasikin, that's when I'm beginning to go to sleep. I can't do that. I daven at a later minyan. Then the Gemara has another interpretation that's very important. Ha'oseh tefilosa keva, if you just say what's printed in the Siddur, ain't tefilosa tachanunim. The Anshei Knesset HaGadolah composed the text, but that's the basic text. But whenever something new comes up, that's not sufficient. I have a lot of grandchildren. I have 9 children in the world, married. Each one has a whole bunch of children on their own. I have a lot of grandchildren. So this one needs a shidduch, and the other one is not feeling well, and the other one was just diagnosed with an eye problem. Each child has another problem, and this one wants to be accepted in this yeshiva, this one wants to be accepted in that university. So every day there's something new. You have to add on tefillahs, you have to add on tachanunim. It's not right just to say the text of the Shema Nesrei. Whenever something new comes up that day, you should add something on. Like we mentioned before, the pasuk says in Tilim, "Azos yispalak ochasid leis mitzo." When it comes to the Gemara, "Leis mitzo zoisha matzah isha matzah toy." When it comes to shiduchim, you have to offer a tefillah. Comes to parnasa, comes to refuah, comes to applying for a job, graduate school, whatever, you have to offer tefillahs. You can't just say the printed nusach. We always have to offer tefillahs, even what's not printed in the Siddur, in the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei, and Hilchas Bikur Chaylim, they quote in the name of the Ramban, that if a person is Mevaka Chaylim, he doesn't offer a tefillah, that the Chaylim should get better, he has not fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Chaylim. How does the Ramban know? Because the Gemara says you shouldn't be mebakar chayla. It's not a smart idea. You shouldn't be mebakar chayla the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day. The first 3 hours of the day, the chayla had a good night's sleep. And he looks like he's pretty healthy. And he won't offer any tefillos. In the last 3 hours of the day, the chayla will be so exhausted, he looks like he's half dead. And you won't offer any tefillos because it looks like he's going to die. He doesn't look like he's going to succeed in surviving. So you won't offer a tefillah. So what's so bad? So the Ramban says, you see from the Gemara, that if you don't offer a tefillah, you're not yetzer bikur cholim. Why? Because the obligation of bikur cholim is to heal the patient. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva had so many thousands of students, and he noticed that when they weren't all in one yeshiva. They were spread all over Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, different cities. So he noticed when he was in one of the yeshivas, he noticed one of the students wasn't there a few days in a row. And he asked, where is that student? They said, he's not feeling well, he's in the dormitory. So he went to the dormitory and he saw that he's wearing old dirty pajamas. So he got him to change the pajamas and he swept the floor and he opened the window and he got fresh air and he changed the sheet and he got a medication and he healed him. The mitzvah bikur cholim is to heal the patients. Today, if a person is sick in the hospital, so the doctors and the nurses are taking care of everything. So the only thing that's left to us is to cheer him up a little bit. He'll be in a happy mood, so he'll get better faster. If he'll be in a happy mood, he'll get better faster. And also to offer a prayer, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who's in full control. So if you don't offer a prayer for the chayla to get better, you haven't done the maximum that's in your control to see to it that he should get better. Because the mitzvah bikur cholim is not just to visit him, mitzvah is to heal the patient, to see to it that he should get better. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one in full control. If you don't offer a tefillah, you're not yetzer that you haven't done the maximum that's in your control to see to it that he should get better. The Rambam writes in the Geres Teiman, there was a crackpot who lived in Teiman. He cracked himself up to be the Melech HaMashiach. And he was telling all the people they should give away all the money to charity and do all kinds of wild things. So they asked the Rambam, who didn't know who he was, that he should psychoanalyze him long distance without ever having met the person. So the Rambam says, the man is a Meshugana. He thinks he's Mashiach. He says, Zabi is not Mashiach. He says, because the Tanakh tells us Mashiach will appear in Eretz Yisrael. It can't be Mashiach is revealing himself in Teiman. And it's not going to help that he's going to reveal himself again in Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk says, Tzemach Shmoy Mitach Tav Yitzmach, he'll be an unknown figure till he reveals himself in Eretz Yisrael. This guy already revealed himself in Teiman, so he's already not the Melech HaMashiach. Then he says, the Melech HaMashiach is not going to tell us to give away all of our money to charity. It's Keneged Hadin. You're not allowed to even give away all of your money to Hegdish. It's a Mishnah in Erechin. So to Tzedakah also, you're not allowed to. Mashiach is not going to change any din. He's not going to tell us to violate the din. And the Rambam writes a lot about Mashiach there. So the Rambam there, in the Igeres Teiman, writes, we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What do I have? I don't control the bias of Mashiach. What can I do to hasten the coming of Mashiach? He says, every day we offer tefillah, Tzemach Tovet Avdecha Meheiris Hatzmiach. The Ribbono Shel Olam should hasten the coming of Mashiach. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is in full control. So just like by bikur cholim, whoever doesn't offer a tefillah hasn't done the maximum that's in his power to heal the patient, so too, it's in our power to offer tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should hasten the coming of Mashiach. So if one doesn't daven that Mashiach should come, he hasn't done the maximum in his power. Ken Yehi Ratzon, our prayer should be answered. We should daven for all the sick people, for the shidduchim, for the refuah, for the jobs, for the parnosa, and we should daven for the coming of Mashiach. B'meir b'yameinu.
Amen.